Hello, you're listening to Voices of Awakening at www.aspaceoflove.com. I'm Heather McCauley, and today I'm talking with Sandra Baker. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Heather.
I am so excited to do this with you.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Well, today we're going to be talking about discovering your divinity, and this, just for our listeners, so you know how we stumbled into this particular discussion today, Sandra was doing a little divinity reading for me because I wanted to have a sense of what this was all about, and it got so good, we went, well, we should record this.
Your life is so interesting.
Yeah. Well, before we get into it, Sandra, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about what you do and what your background is, and then we'll get into how they can discover their own divinity?
Sure. I am an intuitive life coach and a master rapid eye trainer and technician. And what that means is rapid eye is a modality used to release stress and trauma and addictions and reframe the energy in you to create a different life, to honor what you're experiencing, release it, and reframe it. And then as an intuitive life coach, that piece that I add to it is assisting you in taking you through your life and discovering the thoughts and all of the beliefs that are keeping you stuck in your life, keeping you from creating really what you do want, and understanding and having an awareness of what those thoughts and beliefs are, open up a space to provide forgiveness for yourself, for those that have created a lot of the beliefs on you by programming you, and learning how to forgive it and honor them and release them and then reframe them from there to create your amazing life. And I'm doing that through a product that I'm creating, Meditate on the Go, which is a 2.5-day workshop right now. It's a part of my book. So it's really an exciting journey, and I love the process. I love getting this chance to talk to you and talk about your divinity and my divinity and celebrating life.
Oh, that's so great. Well, before I go on, let me just mention that your website is awakenwithin.net, and so that people can go and, you know, find out more about this on your site, and they can also find this by going to my website, spaceoflove.com. So let us charge forth, and I just thought your process was really amazing, and I was just, you know, when we were talking, I was just going to kind of go along with the process, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need a pen. I've got to write this down. This is really great. So this is even better because now we'll have it recorded and other people can do this themselves. So the concept that we're working with today is that about the idea of discovering your divinity. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means in practical terms? Like, how will this help them? And let's just kind of lay out steps so that as we have this talk, everybody listening can go through with a pen and paper and write down the different things as we go. And that way they can do this themselves.
Absolutely. I am all about providing tools that people can take home, and my clients always have homework that they're working on themselves day by day, which is thus meditating on the go. And it's really interesting, this topic, that we even came upon it today, because I had a client last night that as I was doing her reading, and it was so fascinating because what she wanted to do was connect with her mom who had passed over. And as I was assisting her in connecting with her mom, all of this came out about her purpose in her life and what she wanted to create. And it all boiled down to her feeling overwhelmed in her life. Her children were grown, and so she was at a space in her life where she said, what's my life for, and what am I to do with it? And she was really feeling a loss of her identity, and she felt that she needed to go find something to do to identify herself. And so we talked about the concept of just being and learning how to be and learning to go within and check what that really means about what makes you unique, what makes you separated from the rest of the world. Or when I say separate, I mean unique in your own spiritual gifts. Of course, we're all connected. And as she went through this process, she was so relieved that she was divine just being, that she didn't have to go prove that divinity to anyone, let alone herself most of all.
Well, so, and that is really important because, and I have to just say that when it comes to this idea of being, so often when people come to me for a session, and I don't know, I couldn't even tell you what percent, but so many people are looking for, well, what is my life path, and what should I be doing, and it's very doing-oriented. I know I'm here to do something, and I've got a purpose and a plan, and I'm always doing the same thing. I'm going, let's get back to who are you being right now, mm-hmm. and what are you thinking, and how are you feeling, and let's look right there before we go on to anything else, because once you have the being part, and this is what a lot of people don't quite understand, when you really understand how to be the things that you are wanting to do in the world, right? In other words, if you're wanting to bring about peace and balance and so on and so forth, if you're actually being that yourself in your daily life, the doing will come out of that being all by itself. You don't have to go figure it out. You don't have to run around looking for it. It'll actually come to you because of who you're being.
I love the way you put that in the silent language of peace. It's my favorite excerpt. It's so true. It's when you get into the space of being, life becomes simple and everything comes to you in an easier way to just bring joy and light into your life.
Yeah. And before we go on, let me just say one quick thing for people who may be listening to this who don't know what the silent language of peace is. It is on my website, which is a space of love, and be sure you put A in before spaceoflove.com. It is in a place called Free Downloads, and you just sign in for there, and you can then go in and download the Silent Language of Peace for free. And you can also read the text on the website. So that's for any listeners who may have come to this talk in some way other than through the website.
And let me add to that, that CD is so phenomenal. That's how you and I connected, was through that CD, that it was a gift to me, and I knew I had to meet you. But I require all of my clients to have that CD on their first session so they start using it daily.
You know, it just simplifies things, doesn't it? It's sort of like, here are the basics. Now, apply this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
it
then really, you really
works.
Can.
Their
it
time.
Does, because it's just so fundamental. And I think once you simplify spirituality, and you and I are both about that, like, how simple can I make this?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now what's our next step?
Okay, everybody pull out a pen and paper. And what I like to have my clients do is list 20 things in life that they're passionate about. But for today and for our little time and our divinity reading, we're going to get your top five on paper. So the top five things that most inspire you, they move you, they touch you, they create joy and excitement in your life. And to give you an example, of course, me being the mom of three teenagers and loving the process of my children growing and just embracing each moment, I'm passionate about teenagers. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about their desire to become and to become who they are and to see that being that's within them. And I know you and I had talked about that, and you feel the same way.
Yeah.
And so, Heather, let's use you as an example. Okay. What are some of the things that you're passionate about?
Well, it you know, it's funny that you say that, because just for our listeners, we were having this exact discussion. I was going through my list of five things, and Sandra was going, oh, I feel that? Well, that's on my top five. So it was great. We just had so much in common. But I feel the same way. I have I feel that same thing around children and teens. That is definitely a passion of mine, and how a lot of that shows up for me is in writing. I have a book called Children of Light we talked about, and I'm looking to make a second version of it that's more advanced, because since I wrote the book, it was back in like 94, and I had all these great endorsements, Deepak Chopra, people like that, and yet I evolved so much, but the story kept wanting to be told. And so I came up with this idea of parallel worlds. And so there's a parallel world in this second version of the book that is right now coming through me, and it's all about teens. So the first one was more of a younger type book for younger kids, and this is more embracing teens. And then, so there's writing. I love inspirational speaking. I love being an extemporaneous speaker, just standing up and going for it.
Well, and you're so gifted, I'll add that. You know, the lovers on your website is hilarious.
Oh,
and so anybody that wants a good laugh.
Thank you. Yeah, that's also in the free downloads. And, you know, a lot of people that came to the website, you know, they downloaded the Silent Language of Peace and they signed up for e-courses. A lot of people missed the lovers. And I was actually going to say that one of the fun things I really enjoyed doing with this inspirational speaking is all of a sudden I'll just pull something out of my hat from the lovers, which is a one-woman musical comedy, or I'll just start singing one of the songs. And I love doing that. It just really, you know, audiences are just not expecting that, so it's really fun. And so then my third passion would probably be around, or maybe this is my fourth, but wherever I am, it would be around nature and just the whole connection with nature. And I homeschool my daughter, so it's really wonderful to have nature and animals and everything be a part of our education. And I would say just really my other passion would be to simplify things. We talked about this too. I love being able to take concepts that are really complex and simplify them and make it really easy for people to understand, whether I do it in a counseling session or I do it through writing my fictional fantasy book or like with the Silent Language of Peace. It's just simple, 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 like anybody can get it. And I know that that's one of the things I came here to do, because it's like I have to explain everything to myself that way. In other words, I have to simplify it so I can understand it. And then I think, well, why don't I just share that with somebody?
That's so perfect, because I totally resonate with that. Reading one of Deepak Chopra's books and going, okay, now I need to interpret this
in
my own brain.
So those are my five, basically.
Okay.
And like one of the things I was telling you earlier was that my son, who's now 20, wants to write a book with me about his experience of learning these techniques from me. And he was raised by his dad, and his dad taught him basically not to like me or have anything to do with me. So it was kind of an amazing thing that he came to see me, and it just turned his whole world around. And he said, Mom, I just think that we have something awesome to give the world, because I've come from this kind of typical dysfunctional family thing, and at 19, you changed my world. And he said, not many kids have that advantage of having a parent like you, and I would like to have both of us share this with young people. And I'm going, yeah,
wow.
Sign me up. So,
that's how things come so easily.
Yeah, so that's just been another thing I really feel passionate about, and that really combines my desire to help young people and write, and it to see it all come together and have my son pick up the phone and go, Mom, let's do this. I'm like, okay.
That's fabulous. Okay, so to recap some of the things that you're passionate about, I just simplified this down into a little list. Simplifying being one.
Right.
But teenagers and adolescents, you really relate to them and providing material for them.
Mm-hmm.
And young people, of course, because Amelia, you're raising your daughter and homeschooling her. You love to speaking on your feet. And I also know you love to sing, and you're very, very gifted singing. And you can teach and get a message out through just your voice. And anyone who visits her website will hear the toning, which is just beautiful.
Thank you.
And then you love to be out in nature, and you have the opportunity to do that with Amelia more often. And then, of course, back to simplifying. So everybody take some time to make your list, and when we're done with this, you can spend some more time really pondering on this and contemplating your own life and those things that get you excited, that you love to talk about, that you could go on and on just forever talking about these things because they move you to excitement. And that's how you know those are the things in life you're passionate about. This has two parts to it. The first part is, what are your passions in life? And the second part is discovering or going back over your life and looking at the biggest obstacle that you have or you may be currently overcoming, and the knowledge that you gained about yourself through this obstacle.
So let me ask one quick question for our listeners and for myself. So there's one type of thing where you've gone through an obstacle and you're on the other side and you see what the gift was. But if a person is going through an obstacle right now, they don't necessarily see the gift, which is why they're still in the obstacle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how would our listeners approach this? Well, should they look into the past, something that they already have overcome? Or is it, how do they look at it if it's a current thing and also find the gift? Or do they just go, what's the gift right now in the spot?
That's perfect. You just answered it.
Okay.
The gift is what I call the message of love. Mm-hmm. And I believe that pain is an illusion. It seems so real to us, but because there's a spiritual higher learning from it that our soul has come here to gain, then in reality that message of love is the knowledge you're gaining from this obstacle,
right,
or from this pain.
Right.
And so for me, for example, going through a messy divorce, and then I was 3 years single and then married into stepchildren, and so we had seven together, and it was very difficult. I had his teenagers lived with us. His wife had passed, and so the teenagers lived with us, and then my kids were very young, and there was a lot of conflict that my kids felt. You know, you can imagine teenagers like,
oh, yeah.
I never signed up to have little kids in this house.
Right, right.
And so my kids, we were seeing an attorney over the divorce, and my oldest daughter was saying, I want to go live with my dad's wife's kids. I want to live at that household. And so they did a mediation and suggested that the kids go live with them for a period of time. And with me being a mom and pouring my whole heart and soul into being a mom, it was as if somebody just pulled out my entire identity.
Right.
And so to me, that was my biggest obstacle at that point in my life, is the loss of identity.
Right. And, you know, we had something similar because it was getting into this very point that as we began talking about this from both of our perspectives, we're like, we should be recording this. So I'll give you my perspective on this because I had a similar thing happen. And in my case, my sons were quite young, and through a series of circumstances, they went to live with their dad. And what I discovered, so that, you know, I had the whole same thing that you did. My identity was tied into being a good mother and a good wife, and even a good person, you know, which I want to
yes,
throw in a little
point.
Bit about that good thing, because, you know, this has to do with something, and I know this is a little off the track, but I think it's really worth mentioning. On a spaceoflove.com, there's an e-course, and it's called 30 Days to Finding True Love. And actually, it's something that is fantastic whether you're married or single or just wanting to get in touch with yourself. But one of the things he talks about in here has to do with, he calls it roles, rules, and duties. And he talks about roles, about doing the right things for the wrong reasons, and how we... He says, roles and duties are based on grievances, feelings of guilt and failure. They're embodied forms of sacrifice and compensate us for our painful feelings. Roles are like suits of armor encasing us, cutting us off from intimacy, our ability to give and receive. Roles create deadness. The two most common roles are being good and being a hard worker. And I just thought this was pretty you know, when you talk about where we were coming from and mm-hmm. how we had this challenge, and yet it absolutely, from my perspective, it woke me up out of being in a role. And how do people mm-hmm. see me? And even the fact that my boys went to live with my ex-husband, there were people that had opinions about that. Well, what kind of a mother are you?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
And so it was a marvelous opportunity for me to really get a sense of, well, who am I and what am I here about? And now I do have a little space. And it's funny because I was telling you this earlier. Initially, it was all, you know, when I was in my early 20s, and I think this is true for a lot of, especially young women, you know, you're looking for your life partner, and you want to have children, you want to have your home, you're waiting for life to start, and then your life starts, and you're married, and you have kids, and you have no life of your own anymore. You know, and you're going, I love you, and who am I? What happened to me? Where, you know, so here I was. In this place of having all this free time and knowing what it was to be married and have children and all of it, and it's, you know, and I went through a lot of, you know, heartache and pain over it, and at the same time I went, well, I'm just going to move with what is here, and I'm going to get into what it is that does interest me. And it was because of having that space and that freedom that I was able to do the work I needed to do on myself and discover those principles that I share in the Silent Language of Peace. And I don't think many people know this story, so I'm kind of glad to get to share it, because I think it helps people realize that, you know, part of why we're able to bring our gifts forward is often because of a very challenging situation that doesn't look so great on the surface, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I find this time and time again, even with other authors and speakers, about their greatest challenge that they went through. I mean, if you know Byron Katie's story and Wayne Dyer's story, and everything they teach is what they learned. Mm-hmm. And understanding that what their greatest obstacle was really a gift to them because
right.
of the knowledge that they gained from it. Now, I want to reframe that I don't believe we have to learn through pain and suffering.
I agree.
I have reframed that in my life, and I choose to live my life in joy now, and I still get all the great lessons. So
right.
it doesn't have to look that way.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a part in the Silent Language of Peace where I talk about that, because that was my great awakening, and it was where in the Course in Miracles it says, you can either learn through love or fear. If you learn through love, your lessons will be joyful. If you learn through fear, your lessons will be painful. Either way, you're going to learn. And that was like such an aha for me. I'm like, what? I can do this joyfully? Okay. Sign me up. You know?
Absolutely. But for anybody, and everybody has had pretty traumatic experiences at some point in their life of pain and suffering, that there is a message of love in that pain and suffering, that as you go back into your life and look at those moments and ask, what am I to learn from this experience? If it's something you're going through now, and what did I gain from that experience that has assisted me now? I know for me, being more compassionate, I never judged another woman that never had her children
right.
for whatever reason.
Right.
And, you know, here in Utah, they were like, well, you must be on drugs or an alcoholic, because that just doesn't happen.
Right. And I was in Utah at the time as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that judgment that I had coming in at me and going, how do I handle this? And what do I do with this information?
Right.
So, and looking back at now at the gifts that I learned, how to go within and be okay with myself
right.
and begin to ask, well, then who am I? And instead of why me, that victim energy that I was in for quite a long time, I was able to pull out of that after it got painful enough that I said, what can I learn from this?
Right.
And when I reframed the why me to what can I learn from this experience, doors opened mm-hmm. and just spirit realm and love and beauty, and it changed my whole perspective, and I was able to see life through God's eyes
right.
rather than been from my limited view.
Well, and don't you think part of this too, and it's in what you just said, but I think one of the biggest gifts that I got, too, was not needing other people's approval, you know.
Oh, absolutely. That judgment. I was so grateful to all those people for doing that.
Yes, because, you know, you get to this point where there's just nothing you can do about all that. And I have to tell you something about judgment as well that's really powerful, and that is there was a point where all this judgment was coming up around me, and I just sat back one day and I just looked at it and I thought, what is that about? And here's what hit me. It hit me that no matter what a person is going through, you know, you can look at anybody who's anything from issues at home to dealing drugs. It doesn't matter what it is. You could say it's a life lesson that they're going through. It doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And judgment comes about when you look at another person and you decide that they're not learning their lessons fast enough.
Yes.
You know, you should be
yes.
there by now because I see it. How come you don't see it?
Yes.
And when I started to see that, you know, it let me off the hook. You know, we expect a 5-year-old to act like a 5-year-old, right? But
mm-hmm.
but what is it that a 45-year-old should be acting like? You know, what
mm-hmm.
we don't know. We don't know what stage they're in, what phase they're in, whatever
exactly.
that may be.
It's not for us to decide where they're at on their journey.
Right.
And to honor them wherever they are.
Exactly. So when you make that choice where you get it that you do not need other people's approval, you're almost automatically getting yourself out of judgment because you have to stop judging yourself to
mm-hmm.
get out of the need for approval. And as soon as you learn that lesson of how to stop judging you automatically get out of judging other people because you know what's involved in the whole process. You know?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing. Everybody shows up to mirror you judging yourself.
Right. In fact, you know, I have to throw in one other quick thing. This was the funniest thing for me about non-judgment. So when I really got the hang of that, and I was so non-judgmental about everything, no matter what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone judged me. And I was like, wait a minute. You're judging. I'm not judging you. How dare you judge me? And then Spirit steps in and goes, Heather, isn't that like judgment?
Oh, that is perfect.
So that it does take a while to get past that one, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, lifelong lessons.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've gotten our list of things that we're passionate about, and mm-hmm. we spend some time reflecting on those and getting excited about those. And now we've discussed your biggest obstacle and my biggest obstacle and some of the things that we've learned from that. And now when you combine those two unique pieces of information about you and what makes you unique and what lessons you have chose to come down and experience and learn from and gain knowledge and understanding, it assists you in seeing what you're about here, what your
right.
purpose and what your passion is here.
Right.
And that's when the teacher and the student become one.
Yeah.
Because as you go through your learning process, you begin to share with others what you're experiencing, and you automatically teach them.
Right.
And as you teach them, you learn.
Right.
I've had many times when I've been sharing my experience with someone, and it was in the sharing that I received more knowledge about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to share, to buddy up with someone after you do this exercise and share with them your findings and get with someone that really supports you
right.
in your spiritual journey of self-discovery and divinity. And if you don't have anyone, Heather and I are both available to support that. And it's essential to be able to share what you have found about yourself so that in that sharing, you may discover more about it and information comes in about you and who you are.
Well, I get that just talking with you because, you know, I've never done this process before. And there's definitely a different energetic just discussing it because I feel more passionate about something. In other words, when you get to say it to someone who's really hearing you, then when you talk about something you're passionate about, it's not like hitting a dead wall or something.
Yes,
know?
It's a celebration. It's
yeah.
a celebration about your gifts.
Yeah.
As you describe your gifts to me, I feel them. I resonate with them. I see the book for teenagers, and I see them just delving into it and being excited about possibility in their life and experiencing their life on new levels of perception.
Oh, that is so great. Well, that's so inspiring to me, I got to tell you. But, you know, I want to tell you, as we've been doing this and we've talked about what's the gift and the message of love, and we were talking about the no need for approval and non-judgment, and where that took me, because when you talked about tying it back together, it took me to this place that your worth is already established. And that's actually a statement from A Course in Miracles. It's something on that line. I mean, it's not exactly that, but it's close. And that it, basically the idea is that your worth is established by God, and there's nothing that you can do to change that.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't that great? And I thought, and then when I looked at that, because obviously not needing approval and not judging, you know, ties right into this, and then I could really see even more, it does. It adds like another dimension to the things I'm passionate about. And it really, just doing this with you right this second, helped give me a little more focus on what it is I'm working on in this book, this Children of Light book, The Parallel Worlds,
mm-hmm.
about what it is that I'm wanting to have reveal itself through the story, but doing it, you know, in a fun fictional fantasy way. But still, just having that simple thought at this as the seed of the story
mm-hmm.
is like, I mean, in the second I'm like, that's really good.
Oh,
I can work with
that down.
I didn't know I knew that. Okay.
And that's the gift of sharing your experience with someone else, because as you speak it, you experience it.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about from A Course in Miracles is what I do call the message of love, and that is that God sees that your worth is already established. And so I have my clients go on a guided imagery prior to this earth life and really getting in touch with your higher self, your spirit self, that self that God created you as before you took on all these limiting beliefs and judgment. And imagine seeing that higher spirit self, and you're laying out your life in front of you, and you're saying, you know, I really get what love is here. I just have so much connection and so much love around me, and I really get this non-judgment that I can't even comprehend judgment. I don't get what that would look like or feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to set up as part of my earthly experience in body form to have a lot of judgment on me
mm-hmm.
because I would like to know what that feels like. And then I would like to have this veil put across my face, so-called, that I can't remember my divinity and my self-worth. And so if I could set up some experiences that would help me to discover it again within
mm-hmm.
and to regain that connection to God and spirit and understand that the worth is already established, but get it on a body level, imagine how much more powerful I'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message of love, that all things are for your good, that you get that message of love by asking, what am I to learn from this?
And, you know, there's a really interesting book I've been reading by a woman named Almine, A-L-M-I-N-E. And she says, I can't remember the exact title, but it has to do with, I think it's called A Life of Miracles is what I think it's called. And she says something really interesting that really shifted my feeling about all the challenges. You know, people, if you look at it energetically, it's sort of like, you know, wading through mud, you know, hip deep kind of thing when we're
mm-hmm.
here. And what she says is that in 35 years of being on planet Earth and all these challenges and the heavy, dense vibration here, that we learn and grow as much as you, it would take you like 10,000 years on a planet that was fully inhabited by beings who were completely God-realized.
Right? Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And so she says, and if you think about it, that makes sense. If you were just raised, everything was love and light, and you
yes.
did everything perfectly. And so, and this is another aspect that she brings up that I love. She says that And it takes just a second. I know this is a little off the subject, but I just have to throw it in because it's really fascinating.
Absolutely.
But what she says is that now imagine that you're God consciousness and it knows everything and it's all love and all light and everything. Well, how do you expand something unless there is something in opposition to cause the expansion? Right. In other words, you can't have an aha if you know everything, you know. And so what she talks about is that every time that we are having these ahas and we're awakening within and we're discovering our divinity, and just like you said, it's like this veil that goes up and you've forgotten who you are. Well, it's actually bringing light into darkness, and it causes the whole universe to expand every time that this aha happens for each one of us. And then there are billions of us on the planet, right? So we're just expanding because of it.
And just bringing more light.
And we are. We're bringing more light in. And the other thing that she said is that one-third of us came here to be light retarders. One-third came as light workers and one-third came as observers. And so, you know, it's not that, I don't know from my own personal experience whether this is true or not, but it totally rang bells for me. It resonated. It made me feel really good about whatever part I'm playing, whatever part anybody else is playing, and whatever part they think I'm playing. that's what you think I'm playing? Okay, I'll play that for you, you know?
Well, because everybody's contributing to the whole of it.
Yeah, and it's like, she says it's like a spider's web, and you even remove one thread, and it's not the same, you know? And that's how important we are as individuals, because we're each like this thread in this, you know, cosmic spider web. And so it's really an amazing concept. I really loved it.
Oh, that is a great way to put it in words.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that
part
of it.
Okay, so back to our guided imagery.
Okay, so basically you've now discovered your higher self and you've gotten an idea of how powerful and magnificent you are. Now, if you had a hard time with that, just imagine yourself in your most exquisite form, the perfect size and shape, mm-hmm. and perfect love. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a journal called Meditate on the Go where I have my clients write out a description of their divinity. So take some time in this exercise to write out if you could imagine yourself as complete and perfect and whole and healed, your God self, basically, what does that being look like? And it gets really fun to just start writing words, mm-hmm. and allow yourself to feel that within you, because that being is within you, mm-hmm. as we know. So, okay, you've now gotten an idea about why you chose a lot of what you've chosen, the higher message of love, about who you really are, and as Heather mentioned, the amazing process of being here on Earth and the excitement just being here, yeah. is, if you really get a glimmer of that, mm-hmm. and how we're all contributing to that whole. So now looking back over your list of passions and your obstacles, for example, for you, Heather, we know that your greatest gifts are in teaching and writing and speaking. And you have a beautiful voice, and you can do it very spontaneously on your feet, where you can sing it or you can speak it however it comes to you. And through different tones, they resonate to different people. So you will attract people on all sorts of level in your life, mm-hmm. because of your gifts of being able to speak, to sing, and intuitively just come right on your toes with it.
Yeah.
And you also connect with nature, and so you have this rhythm and harmony about you that duplicates nature. And if you go out, for example, and just feel the grass in your bare feet and feel the essence of the air around you and the wind, just move your hair, that kind of describes you, Heather. You move with harmony and rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your voice. It's in your ability to speak and to move. And you really resonate with nature. And being able to take all the knowledge that you grasp and simplify that and assist others in getting what you've gotten is your greatest gift.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting about you saying this about nature, because I've never made this connection before, but one thing we said before we recorded this, when I was talking about my passions, one of my passions was to live my life in balance. And, of course, nature is totally in balance if we leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And also another thing about nature would be flow. And many of the descriptions I use in my writing, like about the butterfly and pain and chaos, I refer to nature, and I never thought about it that way. I just realized that I felt connected in, but I would often use that as a way to describe what I was trying to help people understand.
Yes.
So that's a great thing to see.
Okay, so now we'll take all of this information that we've encompassed, and we're going to create a daily mantra or your dream statement. And this dream statement is your statement that you get to memorize, that you get to take with you on a little 3x5 card, put it up on your mirror. And through Meditate on the Go, I have my clients memorize it and then use it when they get out of bed. As soon as their feet hit the floor, it triggers the response in the brain to go over my daily mantra and to rehearse it and to feel it. And so you understand that that's when you're programming this into your body and into your mind. So if you were to put 4 I am statements that just engulf everything we've been talking about for you, and like I am universal balance and flow or whatever it is for you, you know, number one best-selling author for adolescents.
Yeah, I love that.
Those are all statements that would be really great for you. So anything that comes off the top of your mind just now?
Well, I'm just writing down my best-selling author.
Okay, I'll ask that.
Now, this is going to be the tricky bit because you're going to make me do this on the spot.
I'll assist you. I'll make it easy.
You make it easy. You tell me, and I'll write it down, and I'll go, yes, that's exactly how I feel. Exactly.
Okay, I'm just going to go back over some of the words you said. So for the listeners, all you have to do to write your I am statements is go back over the words that you've written on your passion list and the message of love you gained. So for Heather, in our previous conversation, you were mentioning your amount of self-worth. So if you were to if you were to put one word on it or a phrase, what was it that you gained?
What I gained, I'm looking at my time. Oh, okay. Yeah, because what I gained from not knowing my worth was coming into my worth and understanding that nothing could take it away, no one's opinions, not anything, not what size I was or what other, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so I would say that was one of the most potent things. I stopped looking to people for approval because I began to look to myself. You know, and I guess this is really kind of funny, but I just got really good at looking within, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
and being self-referral. I learned to refer to myself, not what was going on outside of me, not my checkbook, not anything. It was like I would look inside. And then, I don't know if this falls into what we're talking about, but what I began to see was it began to really be mirrored back in my relationships, in my home, in my environment. And I started going, I'm getting this because I'm seeing it all around me now. I'm not just holding it inside myself. I am seeing it reflecting back all around me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the words that you used were discovering your self-worth and self-referral.
Mm-hmm.
So your divine worth. And so if you were to put that in an I am statement, what would that be?
I'm divinely worthy, or
yeah, whatever. It's whatever feels the best in your heart. It's like I am knowing my self-worth. my divine worth.
Well, you know, I'd say I've gotten even beyond worth. I don't know.
Ooh, that's nice.
Well, you know, it's kind of like...
That kind of limits it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, worth is limiting. And
yes,
it's like
I've
gotten more to this place where I am... Okay, I know. I've got a statement. I am fully enjoying playing in the divine game. I am fully...
Oh. That's great.
I mean, because it is how I see it. I see, because when you get that idea that a third of the people are bringing in the dark aspects and the light and the observers, and then you start to see it more like a play, like the Leela, I think they call it. You know, it's this divine play, and it's all, and it's like understanding that it's all the illusion, but within that illusion or within the dream, I have come to this place where I genuinely enjoy it. I have fun with it. I laugh with it. I play with it. So I think that would be, I am fully enjoying playing in the divine.
Oh, that's a beautiful statement.
Dream,
you see,
drama,
how she
whatever
came up
it is.
You see, you did. You just started speaking, and it just came to you. It just flowed. And so I actually wrote it down where it says, I am fully enjoying playing in the divine. And you had divine game or just in the divine.
Well, in the divine is pretty good too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
It's like swimming in that ocean.
Yes. So, okay, that one's perfect. So then we have your next statement, which has to do with connecting people together with your writing and your speaking or what you love to do, and I have on there best-selling author, and you can put it in however words you want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we? Okay, so we did the best-selling author thing. I wrote that just the way you said.
So
it,
okay, how do you?
I liked number one best-selling author for young people.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, I'm writing it on mine.
Okay.
Okay, I actually put your other one as first. Because that kind of encompasses it all.
Yes, balance and flow, the I Am Universal balance and flow, that one.
Oh, no.
Or the other one.
Oh, the divine dream.
Well, I've been okay. Just writing it down as you've been telling me. So you're talking about okay, tell me the other one I said.
Okay, now I just added that one. You're so ahead of me. Okay. I'm fully enjoying playing in the divine.
Oh, yes.
Because that encompasses it all.
Yes, it does.
That just encompasses. And so your biggest, the lesson or the message of love that you came here to learn is from what you gained in that obstacle or what you are gaining. Mm-hmm. I tend to put that at the top.
Okay.
And
I like this one at the top. I'm thoroughly enjoying playing in the divine. I'll put that as number one. How's that?
Yes.
Okay.
And also, I'll just make a note here. If affirmations, if you're in a space in your life where that drunk monkey on your shoulder is chattering away and you're having a hard time believing any affirmation,
mm-hmm.
I will have my clients add the word I am able to or I am learning to, mm-hmm. and it just opens up a space
right.
of possibility.
Right, and you know, in the Silent Language of Peace, I use the statement I am willing or
absolutely.
I intend. Any of those work really well.
Yes. So if you're in a space where your affirmations, you're just not able to feel them, willing is a perfect word because it creates the intention and able opens up the possibility. So
and
add that.
Can I throw in one little thought here, too? This is from the Silent Language of Peace where I am actually quoting A Course in Miracles. Or it's really funny. I've never actually found this exact quote, but it's how I remembered it. But it still works. Anyhow, it goes like this. It says, God knows you don't know how to forgive. Be willing to forgive, and God will take care of the rest. And so I began to apply that I am willing to everything, whether it was, you know, letting go or whatever the aspect might be. But the thing I love about I am willing or I intend is that you are, by definition of this statement, turning it over. You're going, it's not about me. It's not up to me to figure this out. It's such a relief when you don't have to figure anything out.
Mm-hmm.
Or even how to feel better. Okay, I'm willing to feel better. You're
mm-hmm.
willing to feel good.
And, absolutely.
And that reminds me, since happiness is a big issue for most people, just how do you tap into happiness? I'm going to throw in one quick way to do this. And then you can look, you know, do the I am willing and I intend. But one thing you can do is you totally pretend for 5 minutes, like set a little alarm clock for 5 minutes and pretend full on for 5 minutes that you're happy. Like smile, you know, try to think of funny, you know, just be really happy and just do everything. Stand the way you'd stand if you were happy. Be the way you'd be. Jump up and down. Do what it takes. And it's really funny because in about 5 or 10 minutes, you're just going to feel happy. And all of a sudden you don't feel quite so, you know, bummed out about things or whatever. And the other option is, if that doesn't work, take a nap. Napping can do wonders for my mentality.
Yes, it can.
Okay, now back to where we were.
Okay, that's perfect. So now we have three for you. I am fully enjoying playing in the divine. Mm-hmm. I am a best-selling author for young people. Mm-hmm. I am universal flow and balance.
Right.
And then you want to add one about connecting or speaking or getting a message across, your singing or speaking, any?
Yeah, I would say probably the way I would say that would be I am, well, I don't know the connecting word, but it would have to do with inspirational, not just speaking, but like you said, because I like to perform as well, and I like to, you know, mm-hmm. I like to get people laughing. I would say that's one of the things I like the most is having a great sense of humor about all this and getting people to laugh. That is, to me, one of my, there's nothing I feel better about when I'm speaking than when the whole audience just kind of erupts.
You know? Yes, and you're so good at that, too. So even just inspirational laughter.
Oh, that's good. I could do that. I'm writing it down. Inspirational laughter. Now, I could really get into that. Because, you see, that covers all my bases.
It does.
Inspirational laughter, it could be from a talk. It could be from singing. It could be from dancing. It could be anything.
Writing.
You know? So, yeah, and writing. True. Inspirational laughter. So how do I say that in an I am
way? I am inspirational laughter.
Oh, well. Okay, get right to it. Okay. I got that. I wrote it down.
Okay. So now I've just added the little beginning statement. When people come in to see me, there's, like I said, I like to simplify. Mm-hmm. So you just basically look at the three areas of your life, which is your health, mm-hmm. your relationships, and your career and money issues.
Okay.
So right, I begin...
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I begin the whole statement with, and I'll have this on my website. I'll post it so that everybody can go to my website, awakenwithin.net, and click on Finding Your Purpose, and I'll have the statement written, and so you can fill in your own words. But I have these words written. I am experiencing joy and gratitude, which are very vibrational words, so mm-hmm. I've used those words. I'm experiencing joy and gratitude as I am discovering my divinity, the truth of who I am as God sees me. I am healthy, I am connected to my relationships and love, and I am prosperous in all that I do. I am fully enjoying playing in the divine. I am best-selling author for young people. I am universal flow and balance. I am inspirational laughter. I am living my life with passion. I know that I'm loved because I am love, and as a result, I'm making a difference in the world today.
Oh, that's awesome. How exciting. And you know what I'll do? On my website, I will put a link that will take people directly to this page as well as to your website. So you give me the link to this page, and then they can just click right on it, and it'll go out with their, you know,
okay.
with their letter. Yeah.
And I'll send you, you probably wrote down your four statements, so you already have yours. But I just read to you Heather's dream statement. This is her daily mantra that she gets to carry with her. And in a moment, if she's feeling a little down, if she just needs to be reminded mm-hmm. about who she is, mm-hmm. she can pull out the card. And as she reads it, feel the feelings of the passion
yeah.
from coming from all of your statements.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love it. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to do this. This is very exciting.
Yeah, and every time, of course, I have a morning ritual that you go through to help reframe your mindset. And before I get out of bed every morning, I do a chakra clearing, which is just an imaginary ball that I just take up through all my chakras, and I just see them all healing. And that's a whole nother topic. We'll go into chakra healing.
Let's do that.
But so I do that, and then I state my intention in my mind. I'm willing today to experience love and joy. If that's, you know, that's perfect, even if that's where you're at in your life. And then as I get out of bed and put my feet on the floor, I run my dream statements through my mind about who I am and my purpose and passion in life.
So do you want to tell us what your dream statement is?
Oh, gosh, mine's pretty close to this. Mine is also, yes, it's the best-selling author, and it is Divine Connection of People. I'm very, very passionate about connection and relationships. I specialize in working with couples and reframing their whole relationship together. Of course, that's what I've done in my own life, so that's what I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Reframing the relationship that they have with others, with their partner, and so they reinvent it in the moment.
Wow.
And so I'm passionate about connection and intimacy. And I'm passionate about the youth and teaching, speaking, and writing. Also a number one best-selling author.
Cool.
So, and I work a lot with healing sexual addictions and people that have been programmed negatively in that way, and to create a healthy perspective of life and a sexual environment and healthy sexual attitudes. And so when I see the transformation with people, when the lights go on and they get rid of what they thought was their belief system of what they thought was real for them, and they can see it from a different point of view, it just releases so much guilt and shame and offers a space of forgiveness for themselves and a reframing into a healthy sexual relationship with their partner.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's mine.
Cool. So now, is this is there another part to this, or is this how we wrap this part up?
That's how we would wrap this part up, because you have your whole statement written, and actually it's pretty long now.
Mm-hmm.
So in your I am words, in your I am statements, if you need to simplify them, you can, to the listeners, if it's something you just want to memorize. And then practice memorizing just your four statements even throughout the day, mm-hmm. and you can add the parts in the morning statement when you read it or learn to memorize it. But it becomes really a powerful tool.
I can't wait to try this out.
Yeah, reframing it in your mind throughout your day. And then I have a whole ritual, and this all leads up to meditate on the go. When, for example, you put your feet on the floor and you run your daily mantra dream statement, and you go in and you brush your teeth and you just love your teeth. You spend the moment being totally present to your teeth.
Mm.
And just giving so much love and gratitude. And even every time you go to the bathroom, just giving so much gratitude to your body for taking care of it and absorbing the nutrients and eliminating the waste. I mean, we're really amazing mm-hmm. bodies that we dwell in. And so giving gratitude and getting in the shower, and as you're washing your body off, you wash off your emotional vibration of any negativity that may have taken place in the last 24 hours.
Right.
And just let that wash down the drain.
Well, how about this? How about if we have our next conversation be all about meditate on the go?
That would be great.
And then we
learning
really
to come
get
to the present
this.
Moment. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to cut you off, so keep going.
Oh, no,
I just want to
perfect.
Say that it would be really fun to do that. And also, I just want to mention to our listeners that you do, what do you call it?
Divinity reading.
Yes, a divinity reading.
Which?
And they're 20 to 40 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And are they how much are they?
They are $50 for, it's about 30 minutes. So,
okay.
Yeah. $100 an hour, basically.
Yeah. And so that kind of gives people an idea of mm-hmm. What to, you know, what they could do themselves. And if they would like some help with this process with you, you'd be fantastic. And I have to just give you some feedback because I've never done this before. And I have to tell you how awesome it is to share with somebody and then they turn around and, or you turn around and you reflect it back to me so specifically. I never realized until just this process with you to have you specifically telling me what I was saying I was passionate about and then have you tell me what it was, how amazing that feels to feel truly heard by somebody. Like, she heard me say that. She just said that back to me. And that is how I feel.
Thank you. And that's why it's important that you have somebody that supports you. And as you're going through sharing the dream, sharing your the whole part on listing your passions in life and then listing the biggest obstacle, but that person takes some notes and reflects it back to you in the same words that you used.
Yeah.
So that you can hear it, like you said, hear it from someone else, and it helps you to define it more.
Right. Well, let me say just one more time that your website is awakenwithin.net. And I just realized I should probably never have asked the price because then the price could change. So I'm going to say this right now. That price may change by the time whoever listens to this hears it. So don't rely on that. It's just a ballpark figure.
Yeah, it's pretty average around $100 an hour. So however that breaks down.
So, well, I have just had the best time doing this with you. I'm so glad that we were able to just do this so spontaneously.
Thank you. It was so fun. And it was, you know, when you called me and we were collaborating back and forth about how this would look, all of a sudden we go, we should record this one.
We should. How much time do you have? Let's go for it. But it's so much easier than trying to schedule it. I can't tell you how many times I've scheduled talks and this or that comes up on either end. And mm-hmm. so to have someone go, well, I've got a minute right now, and it's like, okay. So I'm really glad. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners today. I'm Heather McCauley, and the website is www.aspaceoflove.com. And much love to you, Sandra Baker, and thank you for doing this with me.
Much love and light to all of you listeners and to you, Heather. Thank you so much for being a gift to the world.
Oh, thank you, and you too, sweetie.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.